that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant. And guess what? That old wheel has rolled around again. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, August 14th. If it was March, it'd be the Ides of March, today and tomorrow. But here it is in August, middle of the month. We thank you for joining us, and we've got a good crew this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And Tim, out there in sunny Nebraska, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the Remnant, and we thank you for joining us. I know sometimes people would prefer to sleep in on Saturday mornings if they have time off, but it's worth it. Not because we're worth it, not because we are anything, but because we're told to gather. And when we gather with like-minded Christians, the Word tells us that when we gather in His name, that name of Jesus Christ, that He is there also. And so, Remnant, I hope you think about that. I hope you realize that when two or three of us get together, and we do gather in His name, that He is there also. He's pulled up a chair. He's got His cup of coffee or the equivalent. And our Lord and Savior is there with us. His Holy Spirit dwells within us. And those were words of comfort, I think, that He gave so that we would know we would not be alone. And that when we gather, we can gather in truth and a kindred spirit. And so we rejoice in that. We've got our Bibles. And we've got our coffee, and the phone lines are open. But we're going to open up in prayer. We encourage you to do that very thing. And Jason, we'll sure ask if you would do that for us, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before You in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank You for this opportunity to be here. And we just pray, Father, for Your people across this land, and we pray, Father, that as times are changing, we look at the future, we smile at the future, and Father, we just ask for Your hands to be upon us. We pray that You lead us, guide us, and direct us in all that we do, that You strengthen us and that You encourage us, and that You be with us and that You tend to our needs. that you see to it that our cup overflows with blessings from your throne, Father. Bring our enemies down and let us rise higher and higher as the remnant presses on. Sometimes weary, we press on, Father, and we just ask that you guide us and direct us. We pray on that full armor of God, and we just ask that you protect our families and that you be with us in all ways, shapes, and forms, and that you guide our thoughts and that you keep our people, keep the remnant healthy and strong, and we just cry out to you, and we thank you for all the blessings that you give us each and every day, Father. We thank you for the sun rising and sunset, and we thank you for just so much. We have so much to be thankful for, and we're grateful for all these things. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
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 Yes, amen. Well, I opened my Bible, read a little bit of Job this morning, and really the bit here where it is that in Job 37, where it says, whether it is for correction or for his world or for loving kindness, he, meaning God, causes it to happen. And of course, it's talking about the storms, but I think that it applies to all things. And that word to happen, when it says causes it to happen, the reference there is causes it to be found. And anyway, it just kind of hit me that, you know, these things that we see happening today are happening because our God is either causing it or allowing it for correction, for his world, or for his loving kindness. And his reasonings, you know, as to why these things are happening, he allows them to be found. When it says here, he allows it to happen. Not that it doesn't mean he's just sitting back and letting things happen, but he's allowing them to happen so that what? So they can be found. And I think that's so his truth can be found. And and Psalms 1, a couple quick verses here, because I think that that applies. It was sure encouraging. You know, we had a weather alert yesterday evening, out picking up hay, and a weather alert up for Albany County hail, quarter-sized hail and rain and all this coming. And I could see it north of town, but you just pray. And it's not that I'm anything, but when we pray, you know, Lord, let that go somewhere else. Let him be safe, but let it go somewhere else. And he causes these things to happen. He does. Psalms 1. How blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. And then, of course, that contrasts, you know, that to the wicked. But, Jason, as you prayed, with everything going on today, we're to smile at the future. We really are. And to rejoice that these things are happening, because people are waking up. People are seeing who and what's causing these things that are happening today in the land. And it's good, because God is allowing them to see, allowing himself to be found.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, Tim, you had mentioned you could actually see the sun this morning before the broadcast, so that's a good positive thing there. How are you seeing things in your neck of the woods?
Oh, it's, you know, the seasons continue, just like you said. I mean, summer's gone down and the temperatures are going down. He says that they'll follow each other, and I think we're seeing a lot of that go on. You know, that's that faith thing. Fall's definitely on its way, and he said that would go on forever, and I think that we see that. And although sometimes when you're baking under the sun, you wonder. But, you know, I kind of noticed I had somebody stop in the other day and they were talking about this deal with Kuno, and I couldn't help it when he resigned. And I don't listen to a lot of that because it just kind of gets me down occasionally, if, you know, to listen to some of the things that they say and the political diatribe that they spew. And spew is the right word. But I went and listened to his resignation speech, and it didn't really sound like a resignation. It sounded like an acclamation. He was talking about all the great things that his administration had done, and he was talking about how they passed this gun control that saved countless lives, and how they'd passed the same sex marriage initiative, and they'd passed a bill for love, you know, and the tone of his voice and the actions that he had were just anything but resigned or downcast. Instead, he was bragging about all these evil things that he'd done. And this is a guy who resigned because of sexual harassment. Of course, then he says, well, I could have won the suit, but I couldn't help but think about, you know, I just was sitting there thinking about it. I don't know. The Lord just put Isaiah 5:20 and 21 in my mind. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute, or literally that word means set, darkness for light and light for darkness, and who set bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever or discerning in their own sight. And the thing that I thought about that one for a little bit, and I don't drink sweet tea. I drink straight tea. And I'm not sure if there's a bigger shock in the world than when someone sets a glass of sweet tea. I mean, I can drink sweet tea if I know it's coming. It doesn't bother me at all. But when somebody sets a glass of sweet tea in front of you and you don't know it's there and you take a drink out of it, it just gives you a shudder, you know. It's like, it's like, whoa.
That's right.
So, but that's the whole thing with that too, with that setting bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. God's people, they get that shudder thrown when they realize what these braggers and these sons of hell are doing out there, and they're calling evil good and good evil. And and I mean, he did that in just those few sentences right there, and was bragging about it. And that their judgment, their day is coming. Anyways, I just that was just something that kind of, we were talking about that out here this week, and it was like a, I don't know, they're pretty in your face kind of deal for those who have their eyes open and can see that.
Yeah, and you never see any remorse. You never see any, confession of sin. They are. Regardless of what happens, they're like that woman in Revelation that wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. I haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
What do you mean? No, we've done all this love stuff, like you were saying. We've done all this good stuff. You know, you're kicking me out because I killed 60,000 elders in the nursing home, and I've been inappropriate with my employees and all that, but I'm going because I want to. This is all a good thing. Is the attitude that there's no, I guess in their eyes, they haven't done anything wrong. They've served their father, the devil, and you know, they're just ready for whatever comes next. And if it's in a different position, so be it. But yeah, their reward, according to their deeds, is forthcoming. That is for sure. There is no getting around that at all. At all.
Yep. Yep. There's some things coming. Well, and it's like I say, acclamation, not resignation. I mean, he was acclaiming all of his accomplishments. And then, you know, the whole no sorrow. Well, I could have won an impeachment thing. Well, yeah. There's no, you know, we quite often... you know, when things don't go right or when someone falsely accuses you, you can let it go sometimes. But sometimes you say, well, it's, you know, it's the principle of the matter. The principle is what, and our God's a God of principles. I mean, that's the way it is. And his people are too. So there's just a, that's another one of those fruit tests when you see those guys like that. You know, and they're all over the place.
Yeah, and you contrast that with how some of our people are, and how our people are waking up to, you know, and the most current thing, of course, is this vaccination, the COVID vaccination, science experiment, the mask mandates coming back, school starting back, public school, and many places requiring masks, some places not. I know our local school board had originally put out that, yeah, they were going to require masks. And the backlash that they got from letter writing and social media posts and phone calls to the school board members saying no. And to where the governor even got involved and said, I'm not mandating any masks. You know, he said, no, I'm not mandating any masks for schools. That's up to the local school board to decide. And the school board had to come out and say that they were going to be optional, and that they were, you know, following the CDC recommendations, that if you're not vaccinated, they're recommended and things like that. But they held off on a mandate because the people, the parents, spoke up. They didn't just sit back and say, okay. And in the grand scheme of things, it's such a small, minute item. It really is. But at least they stood up. At least they let their request be known. I saw some national, let me get my paper here, some national reports on that about half of the parents are saying no to masks for their school children. But it's interesting because the way the reports come out is it'll be parents are saying no to masks for school children, and then the next article says parents are in agreement that masks are needed, and it's part of that dialectical materialism, whatever that is, that spell casting of you know, of saying the opposites and getting you to agree with them. And but we're seeing
anti-theist creating synthesis. Yeah.
But at least some are standing up. Some have had enough. I was talking to a local couple here in town that have a business in town. Stopped by real quick yesterday, and they were adamant. You know, not no, but you know what, no. As far as masks and vaccines and things, and it was an interesting comment that was made. Was one, she said, you know, we're a giving people. We'll give you the shirt off our back if that's what you need, but don't make us do it. Her husband chimed in and said, yeah, you know, if we have to. If it was, you know, the things we have to do to keep each other safe, we'll do that. You know, he said, our people don't have a problem in doing that, but don't force me, don't make me. And that's the problem that, you know, this, not Joe the plumber, but that our common people are having with all this is being forced to. They don't want to be forced to. They've been forced to do a lot of things from pay taxes to all types of things, and it's just wearing a little thin, I think.
Well, yeah, slavery. I mean, that's the underlying issue here. Pastor used to say, you know, you sacrifice to the gods you serve. So that's one of those yardsticks that you use to tell whether that's a god, what kind of, and you sacrifice for the things that you believe in. And I think that's a thing. People are they're separating that goats and sheep thing right now. I mean, and that's what it is. And it's not a, it doesn't seem like a earth-shattering thing to some people, but the issues, the root issues, much deeper than whether you wear a mask or whether you, you know, take a jab or those sort of things. It's much much deeper, much more core to the soul, if you will. I mean, it, you know, God says. Psalms 91. I mean, I had somebody in here the other day, and he said, Tim, what do you do when you, you know, he said, we're just kind of mentally down and kind of depressed. And he's a Christian. I mean, you know, and he claims Christ, and he claims, and I said, buddy, you know, we win. I said, read Psalms 91.
Absolutely.
And I said, don't just read it. Contemplate it.
Yes.
And, you know, work, claim it. I mean, it's like, okay, Lord, you know, 1,000 here, 10,000 there. No, all the weapons that they're not going to work. You know, if there's a huge amount of power there, and if you claim it, you know, those promises only work when you claim them. That's why we pray for.
That's right. It's a benefit for God's people. You know, if where you work, if you have a, let's say, a health benefit to where you can go to the doctor if you have to, or what, or a dental benefit to where if you can go get your teeth cleaned once a year, or, you know, if you have to have some dental work done, you're covered, say, by, you have an insurance benefit. It's there. It's available for use. But you have to use it. You have to do what's required to use it. And that's, you know, I'm glad you said that, because that's how Psalms 91 is. That's how all of them are. They are benefits for those that shelter in the Most High. And, you know, folks, we've got a new batch of Psalms 91 bookmarkers. We made some generic ones. It just on the front says Psalms 91, the warrior psalm, and there's the psalm. And so, you know, there's no reference to anything else. If you would like some, we'd be glad to send them to you, because just, Tim, just like you said, you know, when people come in and say, well, what do you do? I'm scared. Or, you know, what about this? What about that? This is a great thing just to hand out to them and say, here you go. It's laminated. It'll fit in your Bible. Might stick up a little bit out the top for a little bookmarker, but that's what it is. But it is encouragement.
Yep, yep.
It you know, people talk about you know, beer and wine being liquid encouragement. Well, this is real encouragement. It is, because it's truth that you can stand on, and it's I think it's a great great tool to witness to people as well, because, you know, if they say, well, what are you doing? You're not going to get the vaccine, aren't you scared? It's like, no. This is what, you know, because I dwell in the shelter of the Most High. And so these promises are for me and my family, and we claim them. Like you said, Tim, they have to be claimed. So many people, they just don't know of them. They really don't.
Yeah. What's new with you, Jason? I mean, what do you got going on over there?
Oh, I don't know. I was going to tell people this this Truth About COVID-19 book is a really fantastic book. It's really an eye-opener. I stopped by my doctor's house yesterday, and I had given her this book, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and was talking with her, had some precious metal to drop off for her, and she was just all excited about that book. She sat down and she read it, and she said it so far it was the best compilation of true facts and figures and numbers and protocols that she has found. And you know, she's a DO. She does stuff, a lot of stuff on a natural side of things, and she's just really impressed with it. And just wanted to tell people this book. If you haven't got it, and you're trying to educate anybody out there on the vaccines, on the lockdowns, on anything, this is a really good book to get. And we have this book available. It's called The Truth About COVID-19. It's by Dr. Joseph Marcola and Ronnie Cummins. And just fantastic book. Do encourage you to get it. I think it's, I don't know what the price is on it. I think it's, it's 20, yeah. 25 bucks, but really good. It's $24.95. Really good book. Really good information on it. It has some all-natural protocols and stuff that are on it. Also, another book that we just got in was The Case Against Fluoride. And we've been trying to warn people about the dangers of fluoride for forever. I mean, past...
Ever, yeah.
He had messages. Some of his early messages, that was one of the big eye-openers for him, was how dangerous fluoride was, and how that was just one of those stepping stones to get him into the truth and where he was. And this is a new book, brand new book, with a lot of scientific evidence, with a lot of arguments, with a lot of case studies in it. Really, really good book. This one's $30, and it's a big book. It's actually a paperback, but I don't know how many pages are in it. 360, 370 pages, something like that. Fantastic book. Really encourage people to get this, especially if you're trying to convince anybody on how bad fluoride is. I mean, and it's surprising. It's like, we take it for granted. A lot of us, that's one of the things that, we've known about this. I've known about fluoride being bad for you pretty much my whole life. But at the same time, there's a lot of people out there that you say fluoride is bad for you, and they still go into the doctor's office, their dentist, and get fluoride treatments on a regular basis. And that's one thing that I was talking with a doctor yesterday, and she's like, there's no use for fluoride. She's like, I haven't found one single thing that it actually benefits anybody. And there's so many lies out there, and there's so much truth out there. But sometimes we take some of the stuff that we've known forever for granted, and we just think that everybody should. And sometimes we don't even know the arguments behind it. So
right,
I think that that's important to be able to have these reference tools, in our library to be able to pull out and to, educate people. There's so much stuff going on right now, and, you can talk about the good news, you can talk about the bad news, and it's like you turn the TV on and it's pretty much, there's bad news. And that's what they try to push. It's the fear factor. And people need to, get out of that and, quit saying, well, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. They're going to do this and they're going to do that. They're going to try and do this. They can try, but, for some, they might get their agenda through. But for others, it's like we've got to have the attitude. And I know for me and my household, we're going to survive and we're going to make it through this. And, we're going to thrive in the midst of it. And, a lot of it has to do with attitude. You got to stay mentally sharp and have a good attitude. And, press on, but have that attitude that, I'm a survivor. I will. And there's nothing wrong with it, not just saying that I'm going to be a survivor, but I'm going to be a thriver and a survivor. And, the Lord can bless you in with everything that's going on in the rest of the world. And, with things that are happening in the regenerative agriculture movement and things that are happening in, people getting away from their pesticides and their herbicides and then planting cover crops and, being able to talk to people about that. And there's so many people that are doing different things and different practices and trying to get away from that. I mean, that's huge, and I think that that's really encouraging because, that's an answer to 2 Chronicles 14, and we've talked about that a number of times on here, but that's happening before our eyes, and the enemy hates it. I mean, Monsanto is, a giant of a corporation, all over the world, and they are, they're finally getting fought back. And that's exciting, and Lord willing, they'll be brought down, and cease to exist, you know, at some point in the future. And I don't know, there's a lot of exciting things going on, and I don't know, that's what I see a lot of going on. I haven't been into the news a whole lot this week, spent most of this last week in a tractor, or working on a tractor. But, you know, sometimes it's good just to, I remember talking with Dad about it, you know, and he's like, you know what, I just decided I was going to turn off the news for a couple of days and wasn't going to watch the news, and you know what, everything's still here and everything's just going on just fine. And, you know, so much of that stuff can affect your mind, but it's, you know, it's just encouraging. You get up and you pray and you move on.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep. There's a lot of times when I, you know, if you get to dwelling, we're told to dwell in the Most High, and there's a lot of times when we focus on the issues too much that we tend to, you know, we get worried, we get concerned, we get fearful, you know, and whenever you feel that coming on, I think, as a Christian soldier, that's when you lay it at the feet of the cross and say, my saying's though, well, God, you sort it out, because I can't do anything about it anyways, and I'm not going to waste my time worrying about it, you know. I mean, I know that they can't do one single thing unless you allow it. So whatever reason this is going on is because it plays into your plan that I can't possibly understand. So, and I think that that is an empowering event right there, because it empowers you to go ahead and be better and be constructive and be productive. And like you said, it helps us thrive.
Amen.
Because you're not consumed with that fear and with that with those sort of things. Speaking about Monsanto, I just seen where they had just got a ruling come down on, or it was Bayer actually, but they just had a ruling come down in regards to the fact that they knew that that was going to cause that another one and another hearing. So they're back in the, you know, deep fat fryer again with their lies and their double talk and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, yep. There's a whole bunch of things going on with all that, and I feel like you. I mean, when we see all these changes, there's people changing all over the place, and the problem isn't really the government right now. I mean, they're actually, as a whole, and I realize that this might get a little kickback from some people out there, but it occurs to me as I look at it that they've pretty much taken the teeth out of all these issues that are going on right now in regards to this, you know, coronavirus that's running around, which is more or less a cold of some type. But they've kind of taken the teeth out of it. What's putting the teeth in it are these corporate horrors that are running around. And I do not, and I think the purpose for that is to some degree, at least in my mind's eye, is that they think they can outlast the small businesses that they're going to put out of business. I mean, let's remember, some of these big box stores will sell stuff below their cost in order to drive smaller business owners out, you know, and to destroy them and to break them. And what we're seeing here is a for-profit maneuver going on to alleviate competition and to gain control over things. And it's just, I was listening to on the radio when I was traveling there yesterday, I was listening to one of them, and they were talking about the fact that, several different things, but one guy called in from New Orleans, and he said, well, not only down here do we have to focus on who has this card or who has this jab or who has whatever, but we've also got to try to hire help, and people don't want to work, you know, and we can't. We're only open 2 days a week because we don't have any help. And, you know, it's that way all the way across the country in every aspect of those sort of things.
It is.
And it's that's the issue there. It's not an issue about whether you do or whether you don't or anything else. It's an issue about control. It's an issue of power. And these corporate boards and these these people who are only interested in that. They don't have a soul. And I've believed this for years, that when we look at a lot of this stuff, we see these corporate boards, and they say, well, they can do everything that a person can do. And it's like, except, you know, walk and talk. And it's like, but there's something else that they can't do. They don't have a soul, and they don't have that heart for our God. You know, the Bible talks about that. We do things, you help people, you use. The Good Samaritan was a businessman, and he was going down that road, and that man that was laying there in the ditch, who was bloodied and beaten, nearly death, there was no profit in it for him to stop and help him and load him on his donkey and take him up for help. But he did, and the Lord rewarded him for it. But those soulless business people that aren't real, that aren't a people, they can do that. I mean, they don't do that. They have no interest in that unless they, you know, get the right press coverage, or unless they... And they will conceal a matter for their own benefit as well. And I think that, God knows there's plans within plans on that kind of stuff. And the combating of it is not, if you don't even know there's a problem, how can you fight back? So, that's another way our God protects us. I mean, as those things go on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. We've got a few minutes left in this coffee program, and still have some good hot coffee in my insulated mug, and we'd be glad to take your call. And in the physical, it just rages on. The Middle East is wars, rumors of wars, more bombings, more... I can't even go there. There's just so much going on in Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran, and it's just it's always been just a jumble. It is. Here domestically, getting into bigger fires. Right now, the Dixie Fire in California, the largest single fire in California history. And a lot of times, like when Paradise burned, and we just had, what was it, Granville was another, California lost another city about 10 days ago to fire.
That was Greenville. Something like that,
right.
Or Greensboro.
Like Jason, haven't been really watching the news lately. But many times California will have what they call these complex fires. There'll be one here, one nearby, and sometimes they'll grow into one. Sometimes they're just dealt as a complex because they're so close together. But this Dixie Fire, and I didn't even see how big it is now, but the largest single fire in California history, going right now. And it is just, we've talked about that many times, that every year it's record fires. They're bigger, they're hotter. When Paradise, California burned a couple years ago, that was that had not happened in anybody's lifetime. For an entire town to burn, an entire city of 30,000 people, and here it's happened again. And so we're seeing these things escalate, these birth pangs. They're not being reported. Brother Paul's been on the last few weeks with us in trying to get people to see that the weather is just, things are getting turned upside down. Snow in Chile and Brazil and Africa and things like that. And it just, folks, a lot of that's where our food anymore, the food comes from. Well, let's try the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome for calling in. Welcome to the Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard.
Good morning.
That's Warren. I was calling in for a prayer request. I got my niece that I baptized last year in September and stuff. She's having a rough time with her dad. Her dad's not a Christian. Her name is Rhonda, and her dad's name is Bob, and he won't have anything to do with Rhonda or her children because they haven't been been stabbed, and she needs some work done on her car, and she wanted her dad to help do it, and he won't do it, but she's only a year old, you know, well, actually less than a year old, as a Christian, and then she's still on milk. I think she's working now, but she says she's going to listen in this morning, and I just happened to catch you guys talking about the cards, the jabs, and all that, and so that's my prayer request, because it is breaking up families all over the world, I'm sure. That's, it's not just for Rhonda. There's going to be millions of people out here that have families. While you weren't stabbed, they don't want nothing to do with you, and we just pray that the Lord to intervene with all these families and bring them back together.
Well, amen to that. Amen to that. Well, we'll sure pray for Rhonda. And, well, Lord, you heard the request, so we do. We stand with Warren. We stand with our Christian brethren all over the country. And we lift up this new Christian, Lord, Rhonda, to you, Father. Your word tells us that sometimes those that come against us will be those in our own family. But Lord, that your reward is greater than all. And that, Father, sometimes they need to see us stand for what is right and what is true. And many times that is what brings them to your truth. And so we thank you for that, Lord. We do. Your word says that in 2 Timothy, difficult times and persecution will come. And we rejoice that it's here. And so, Lord, we pray that Rhonda and those that are in her position, Lord, would look to your word for truth and for comfort. And that, Lord, you would send your ministering angels to be with her, Lord, to help her get her car fixed, to strengthen and encourage her, Lord, to stand on your word and to draw closer to you, Lord, to understand that these things that are happening to her are happening to your remnant all over the country, and that, Lord, that she can survive and thrive, as was mentioned earlier, by standing on you, by dwelling in the shelter of the Most High. And so, Lord, we pray for your strength to be upon her, Lord, and Father, for her dad's eyes to be opened as well, Lord, for all to repent and return to you. And we pray all this, Lord, to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Where would you find that in the scripture, when a family turns against you? I know the part in Matthew, I read it to her last night, you know, with the rich man and the parable about the, you know, putting it's easier for to put a camel through the eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven. And the apostle says, we gave up our families and everything else for you. I read that part.
I know Titus talks about upsetting all the families. Upsetting whole families. And,
well, that's what's happening.
Right. Titus, look at Titus 1. That's a small book, but Titus 1:11 talks about that.
You wouldn't have to have that whole series that Pastor Peter made on the Jezebel spirit, would you? As we told Rhonda that her...
Yeah.
Her dad's under the Jezebel spirit. Could you send me that?
Sure.
Okay, well, God bless you. Rhonda says she'd be listening, so if you're listening, Rhonda, I did call in. God bless you.
All right, Warren, God bless. Yeah, that line is getting drawn wider and wider, deeper and deeper. Choose you this day. That's being presented to the people, and most of them don't realize it's scriptural. Most people don't realize it's a thing that God is doing, that it's a biblical, that it was Moses that had said that. Choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? And he wasn't the only one. And that choice, it's being presented to the people. They just don't realize, just what it is.
Well, yeah, and I can't, it won't come to mind right now, but the Bible talks about that the enemies will be members of your own household, you know, that those who are against you, that daughter will turn against mother and mother-in-law, and we've seen some of that, and it's another reap what you sow thing. I mean, these families have sent themselves, they've set themselves far from God, and among other things, but the fact that that exists doesn't mean that there's not a way back. I mean, God forgives and God renews and God restores, and we know that there is nothing that we cannot, you know, talk to our God about as far as that thing, and that He can overcome or renew or restore to us the things that were lost. And I think that's a thing that we're seeing, and that has been their goal from the start, is the fact that they want to destroy the family unit because God ordained that. You know, I mean, the same sex marriage thing, all of those things that are strikes against God's ordination of the family and His hierarchy.
Yes.
And strong families are a strong nation. Strong nations serve God. Those things are all, and they all work together. It's all building blocks or steps, however we want to say it, and they chip away at it constantly. And,
amen.
God restores it, and we have to build it up. It requires that constant effort. Always, you know, you're always working, always trying to build that and make it better. So,
amen to that. Yeah. And Warren and Rhonda both, if you're listening, read Matthew 10. Read Matthew 10, because those are the words of Jesus Christ. And so you can, as Dad used to say, take them to the bank. You know, those are solid. And He says, you'll be hated by all because of My name. And He said, do not think that I came to bring peace. Not peace, but a sword. And then He goes on and to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and all that. And he's referencing back to Micah, the prophecy that would happen. And so, again, that's where, that's the support of what's going on today. We read of, if we take the time to look in scriptures, we see that. And we should find comfort in that, that, again, it solidifies the Word of God. Not that it needs to make it truer, but it makes it truer in our minds and in our lives when we see these things happening. And it proves also who His people are. A bunch of hard-headed, stiff-necked Israelites that, you know, go about today with many still with that spirit of Egypt, like we had in the wilderness wanderings. And not being able to, and not wanting to give up the ways of the world. So Matthew 10, I would encourage you, and it's instructions for service that Jesus gave to His disciples. And so it is that all the word is for instruction, for learning, for discipline, and you know, many times if we're not steeped in the word, things happen and we think, oh, that's bad, but you know, when we see that it's talked about in the word, that Jesus talked about it, well, huh, maybe it's not bad. You know, maybe it endures, because even in this, just like when it says in Matthew 10:22, you will be hated by all because of My name. Well, dang, nobody likes to be hated. I mean, that's, you know, we're not in the world, but it goes on, it says, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. So you want to be saved out there, you have to endure. You're going to be hated. So understand it, and understand who it is that hates you. And if they hate you because of the name of Jesus Christ, rejoice. Rejoice, but you have to endure. You have to endure to the end to be saved. So many times you hear one or two things out of the Bible, John 3:16, and that's it. That's it. And John 3:16 is there, but there's so much more. There is so much more. I don't know if you've tuned in lately, the last couple weeks, Sunday Church, John has had a great, I don't know if there's going to be more to the series, but he's had a great two-part it so far. We must obey God rather than man. A two-part message that he's brought that I has been hard-hitting. Those messages are available. We can send them to you on DVD, on CD. They're at the website. You can go there and look at them at sfawbn.com, and you can watch and listen to them there. But it's encouragement for the days that we're in, that we must obey God rather than man, that we should be, as much as possible at peace with all men. But our forefathers, the settlers of this nation, the founding fathers, we say, the Jeffersons and the Washingtons and the Adams and the Hancocks, and, they understood that. But there came a time that they could not obey the man, that they could not obey the British, and that they had to obey God. It wasn't rebellion to God that formed this nation. It was obedience to God and rebellion to tyranny. And that there were many a prayerful night and day in our founding fathers seeking the guidance of the Lord in the founding of this nation. And I'm not saying we're going to have another American Revolution, but it comes down to each and every one of us. Like we said before, we've heard, who are you going to obey? Are you going to blindly trust the government? Well, that's what they said, so that's what we're doing. And that's where you put your trust, because that's where you put your belief and your obedience. Or are you going to believe the word? It says, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. And the time is right.
Yeah, it's
Remnant. Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
It's just not going to go back to the way it was before. I mean, that's the thing. God's way is different than the way it was before. And I hear that a lot of times. Well, are we ever going to get back to the way it was? And it's like, nope, because God does it different. And when he does it different, it's going to be better is what it's going to be. That's the bottom line. Whatever happens, and I don't know what it is, but I have faith, and I know that it's going to be better. God's way is always that way, and he's going to have his way, and it may be tomorrow, and it may be 10 years down the road. I don't have any idea, but it's on the way, so count on it. It's rolling this way.
Amen to that. Yeah, well, and Remnant, I encourage you, after you read Matthew 10, read Matthew 11. Okay, read Matthew 11. Because it talks about Sodom there and the judgment and unrepentance. And I just encourage you to read it, to do that. We don't have time this morning. We're almost out of time here. But the time is upon us. The word says that in the appropriate day and the appropriate time, he came for salvation. And that time and day is now. It is. Certainly salvation, being saved from our sins, but that's not all. That's not all. Being saved from our enemy, from the hands of those that hate us. Read Psalms 91. If you come to church tomorrow, you might hear it. Look it up. Take a look. If you want that bookmarker, generic bookmarker, just Psalms 91, that's it. We'll be glad to send it to you. Oh, we've had people order 20 and 2 dozen and 3 dozen and pass them out. And it is an encouragement. It is a promise that, well, you can take to the bank. Well, guys, we are out of time. Thanks for joining us. Remnant, thank you for joining us. And we do invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. If you're coming physically, we do ask for a phone call or something to let us know that you're coming. But you can just join at the website, scriptures4america.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain. It's 9:30 Central Time, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 on the West Coast. Scriptures4america.org. Click on the live video stream, and we'll be glad to have you join us. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth, a live message. We'll partake of communion, and it will be an opportunity to gather with the saints. And so we hope that you do that. Men, thanks again. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more.
Stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.